Each and every one tonight. We do give everyone a warm welcome into our service in the name of the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to talk tonight about the lost person who's blinded to the gospel because of the God of this world. They're blinded and they're in bondage. And I believe we as God's people have a duty to pray for them. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let's just pray for a word of prayer tonight. If you have a need this evening, just lift your hand up to the Lord. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is a privilege which is ours as the people of God, that we can enter in boldly from thy footstool into thy throne room because of the new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we come tonight pleading the precious blood of the Lamb. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. We pray you'll sanctify us, and we pray that you'll fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I ask for every hand that's raised in this building tonight. Lord, you know every need, you know every situation. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, you'll meet every need that you'll undertake in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask this evening that you bless your word to our hearts as we cast out all reasoning and all vain imagination and every thought that will exalt us up against the knowledge of the truth, we cast down in Jesus Christ's name. We ask that the strong man be bound tonight and his good spoil brought to naught in every home and in every life represented in this house tonight. We pray for the quickening power to be in this service this evening, and that you will help us to speak from your word tonight. Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit, and I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. This may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. I want to say first of all tonight that an unsaved person does not have the capacity to see himself as a lost sinner. Many times we have a concept, many times as Christians, as preachers, that if we preach it, that'll do it. But I believe there's more to it than that. Now I know the Bible says it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching the gospel to save them that would believe. But that's the part that would believe. And you see, the God of this world has blinded their minds lest they be converted and see the glorious light of the gospel. So there has to be an intervention of the Spirit of God upon the unsaved man, upon the unsaved woman. The Holy Spirit has to do something. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't do something, they'll never get saved. And they can hear the best preacher there is, and you say, but God uses certain men. Yes, that's true. I believe that. But I believe it's the quickening on the Word of God that does it, not the man. Because if it's the man, then get the man. And you can have a revival with a man. But you can't do that. Ask of a God. Nobody believes that tonight. Now, I believe in a fivefold ministry. Certainly we do. But you see, the unsaved man, he's blinded, he's lost, he's in a lost condition. And the gospel message is the only thing that can deliver him. But the Spirit of God has to move on him. And no man can come unto me except my Father draweth him. That's what Jesus said. No man can know him save to him whom the Son will reveal him. It's the Spirit of God that opens a man's eyes. You see, this blinded, he's been blinded by this spiritual enemy, Satan. That's who's blinded him. In 1 Corinthians 2:14 it says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Brother Gary said the other night a powerful statement. He said you have to watch sometimes when you're asking some people to pray. Because some people don't know how to pray. And if you're praying for people to be healed, and if a man doesn't believe in healing, don't ask him to pray for you. He'll hinder you. He'll not help you. He's full of unbelief. He's indoctrinated that it mightn't be God's will to do certain things. But when somebody's praying for you and they actually believe, they believe what they're praying, and they believe that they know God's will because they've read the will. And the will of God says it's not God's will that any should perish, just the will. The will of God says that by his stripes we're healed. That's the will of God. The will of God says he sent his word and healed them. The will of God says Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. That's what the will of God says. The will of God says for this reason was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. That's what the will of God says. So we talk about this unity and I talk about this intercession, and you need people that's in agreement and praying. Not some that think it can be done and some that think it can't be done. We need to be convinced. And you'll never be concerned. Brother Branham preached a message, convinced and concerned. And you'll never be convinced unless God really speaks to you about it. And then if you're really convinced, you'll be concerned. And God wants us to be concerned today. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are not concerned about the lost. They've no consideration for the lost. They say we're the elect of God. We're on our way to heaven. And they've no concern for the lost. God's people should have a concern for the lost. Somebody believes that tonight. Because they're spiritually discerned. No amount of human power, logic, argument can penetrate the darkness of the unsaved mind. You can't do it. You can't say to yourself, I'll sit down with this fella and I'll convince him. You can't do it. It's impossible. Unless the Spirit of God leads you to do it. Unless the Spirit of God moves you and moves the person you're talking to, nothing will happen. It takes the Spirit of God to do it. I remember years ago at a meeting, and the people were getting saved, and the fella said the preacher wasn't that great. Because it was God. It's not down to good preaching. People think, well, with great preaching will do it. If that was if that could do it, then you need to try and get some great preachers and do it. That's not what does it. It's the Spirit of God that does it. Except the Lord builds a house. You could have a fella get up here and he only takes one scripture, but he's got something from God. He's met with the Lord. The Lord could have just told him a few things. Just give him a scripture and a couple of thoughts. But if God's really inspired that man, and the Spirit of God moves in that man, it'll do something for you. Because there's power with it. Because the Spirit of God's with it. The world out there and the unsaved out there is blinded. And I tell you, not are they only blinded. You see, Christians, the thing is, we're believers tonight. There's so many influences. We sang that song that we only want God's will. Only in your will I'm free.
Yes.
How many really only want God's will? I remember a man in a house one night, and a man began to pray and he said, Lord, strip me of everything I have. And God done it. I know he done it. He had a car business and he lost it. He lost a lot of things. And I tell you, sometimes when you pray, if you're really serious, you need to be careful. Because when God starts to answer, you mightn't like it. And Evan Roberts, that saw the Welsh revival, he said, God, shake me. God, move me. And I tell you, God visited Evan Roberts, and people can testify they heard his bed hitting on the floor, and they thought, what is that fella doing up on that bed? The bed, the things in the bed was making noises and hitting the floor, but he was having visions. God was ticking him, and God was showing him about a revival that was going to come in Wales. God done it. And I tell you, you think of it too. Evan Roberts, 4 years at Topman, and that was it. That was it. And there's different stories about how he ended. Because that was it. You can't tell when God's going to do it, not going to. But I tell you one thing, we need to pray, he will do it. And there's one thing I can show you from this Bible and prove it. If God's people will humble themselves and fast and pray, the Word of God says they will hear from heaven. God will answer. God will come on the scene. But these unsaved people, they're blinded, they're unsaved in their mind. You can't explain the way of salvation simply enough for them to believe. The devil doesn't have to make a drunkard or a murderer or a person to keep him from being unsaved. That's not what does it. But he's a drunkard, he's a murderer, that's why he's not saved. That's not it. That's not it. He only has to keep him blind to the gospel to keep him unsaved. There's people unsaved in their church. There's people unsaved and they're very religious. They've never murdered. They've never done all the things that a lot of people's done. But they're unsaved because the God of this world blinded them to the gospel. How many good Catholics do you know? I know a lot of them. And they're good people. And I love them with the love of the Lord. But they're blinded. And they pray maybe more than some Christians pray. They pray a lot. But what are they praying to? Who are they praying to? If we're not praying to Jesus Christ, our praying's in vain. We need to be praying to the King of glory. To the Lord of all glory. And I tell you, when we pray to the risen Savior, he'll answer us. Before any person can be saved, this blinding and binding of the devil must overcome. There has to be an overcoming of it. God wants us to take our position as believers. And if we're going to take a real position as believers, and I'm talking to every person in this room tonight, not just to the preacher, but every one of us. Brother Graham says we're living well, the Lord privileges what God's purchased for us. We have authority, we have a God-given right as Christians to take authority over demons and over devils in our home, over our families, over loved ones. God wants us to do it. We need to start fighting them. We need to start taking charge over areas. Just like a Brother Brian preached, and I think a Brother John mentioned it one time, about where devils are allocated to areas. How many believe that?
Yes.
We as believers need to allocate prayer to certain areas. And we need to bombard the kingdom of darkness with the explosive power God's given us. That's the power of prayer.
Amen.
And we need to be praying, men and women. We need to pray over homes and pray over our children. And plead the blood of Jesus, the thing that God's given us to overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And I tell you, the power of the blood of Jesus will drive the devil back.
Amen.
And God's word says, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy, that in my name you'll cast out devils, you'll speak with new tongues. Mark 16. You'll tread scorpions and the ashes under the soles of your feet. God's given us that power, but we need to start using it more. We need to flex the muscles God's given us. We need to exercise in the strength of the Spirit that God's given us. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffer violence, and violence thicker than force. We need to pray prayers that will reach the throne of heaven.
Yeah.
Tell you. Some of the old boys years ago prayed prayers, I tell you. They were shocking, some of them, that God heard them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they come from the heart.
Yes, yeah.
They were real.
Yes.
My, there's nothing like a prayer meeting when God anoints a brother or a sister.
Mm-hmm.
And they rise to their feet and they pray a prayer and the Spirit of God starts to anoint it.
Mm-hmm.
But this song for you doesn't uplift you.
Mm-hmm.
You can sense and feel the presence of God many a time on it. Does you good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God wants us all to pray. And I tell you, the best place to start is the secret chamber. I believe that's a lacking today. I believe God's dealing with me with all this. I'm telling you tonight, I believe God's speaking to me with these things. That we need the secret place. and God can visit us. I tell you, we can talk about what God used to do. But we're the people that's living in this generation. We were born at this time. We're here at this time. This is our time. This is our opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to reach a lost and dying generation with the power of the gospel of Christ. And we need to take authority over every devil.
Amen.
I tell you, the devil, he doesn't want that. There must be emancipation and enlightenment. Jesus first had to deal with the devil before he could free the captives. And I want you to know he dealt with the devil.
Amen.
The conquest of Satan, that's what I wrote here. The conquest of Satan. The devil is a defeated enemy. F.F. Bosworth says that you must understand that the devil's defeated. And he said the devil is as big as you make him. And God's as big as you make God. So if you're working with a God that's limited, that's what you have. But if you're working with what I preached the other night, the unlimited God.
Yes.
Unlimited. Nothing's too hard for the Lord, my Bible says. No good thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk upright before Him. That's the words of the Lord. The Lord sent His word and He delivered them. That's the words of the Lord. The devil's only small in God's eyes. He's defeated. Bosworth said he's eternally defeated. He's been conquered by the man Christ Jesus. I want you to see the devil as a defeated enemy. The New Testament clearly shows that he's defeated in a twofold manner. And I'm going to show you that tonight. The first manner that he's defeated in, he's defeated. He's absolutely defeated. Absolute. Here the absolute. Here it is. Do you know an absolute can't fail? When you hear people talking about someone else from their absolute, other than this word of God, watch. So there's a variance in it or a mistake in it. It's no longer an absolute. An absolute can't fail. It is what it says it is. It's an absolute. Hebrews 2:14-15 says, for as much then as the children of our partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that he through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus has absolutely dealt with death. He dealt with death on the cross. He dealt with death. You remember when Brother Brown said about the bee? He said when the bee plants a stinger in someone, it loses a stinger. And it can buzz about and make a noise, but it can't sting you, for it's no stinger. And then he said that Jesus Christ took the sting of death in his flesh on the cross. The devil buzzed about him on Calvary and he took the sting of death for me and you. And death's defeated. That's why Paul said this. Sin shall have no more dominion over you. And then he said in another place, death shall have no more dominion over you. For Jesus Christ has took the sting out of death. He can buzz about. He can make a noise. He likes to do that, doesn't he? Likes to tell you, you don't feel good. You don't look good. Do you ever have somebody that said, well, you don't look good today? Do you ever have that? You know, there's power in your words. Power in your words. The Bible says your words are spirit and life. There's power in your words. Life or death's in the words. You mind Jack Cole Jr. when he come here and he was dying in the hospital? He opened them up and closed them again and said, there's no hope for you. They said, everybody came about and said, Lord, if it's your will, heal Jack. But one fellow didn't talk like that. He came in and he says, Jack, you're going to live and not die. And Jack, I want you to tell the nurses you're healed. I want you to start to testify that God's healing. That by the strength of Jesus you're healed. 26 years later it was when he stood in this room. No matter what you think of Jack Cole Jr., God healed him anyhow, didn't he? Hallelujah. I tell you, our God's a healer. But this, Jesus has conquered this death. I want you to see this. In 1 John 3 and 8 it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is an absolute destruction. I tell you, people talk about processes. You hear a lot of preaching about processes, don't you? Well, I tell you, there's a process that the devil's in, and it's all bad. It's a process for it's not going to improve. That's the process he's in. He's facing the lake of fire. He's facing the second death. He's going to be bound for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ has eternally defeated them. Galatians chapter 2 verse 14 and 15 says this, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Yes. In death itself, Christ triumphed even in death.
Amen.
He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. I'm a winner today. And you're a winner because of what Jesus done. I'm an overcomer. You're an overcomer because of what Jesus Christ done for you. Because you fell under Romans 4. Romans 4, the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has imputed to you his righteousness. Therefore you're righteous because he's righteous. He's imputed to you that blessing. He says in his word, no good thing will he withhold from you. That's the word of the Lord tonight. I want you to read this wee thing that I found when I was studying and reading. It's believed that this was written concerning the Romans. And the writer here was inspired that wrote the scripture in Colossians. I want you to read this about conquering the enemy. The language of this verse is taken from the victory march of the conquering Roman generals. After defeating an enemy, the victorious commander would chain the officers of the defeated army to his chariot and drag them back to Rome. He would send a runner ahead to announce to the city that the victory had been won, and the people would line the streets awaiting the spectacle finally. The trumpet train entered the city, trumpets blaring, citizens cheering, garlands streaming. The conquering hero in his chariot drawn by magnificent white stallions. Trailing behind, chained to the chariot that was moving slightly faster than they could run, were the leaders of the defeated army. Stumbling, falling, being dragged in the dust, the victor not only crushed his enemies, but he also made a public spectacle of them. When Jesus died on the cross, he defeated Satan and all his thugs. And when he burst forth from the grave, he made a public spectacle of them. And Satan is defeated absolutely. He's defeated tonight. Jesus didn't defeat him, but Jesus made a public example of him. The word of God says his head was bruised at the cross. His head was bruised at the cross. Every time somebody gets saved, he's making an example. Every time somebody gets healed, God's doing it again.
Amen.
I tell you, did you know the ministry God sent in the 20th century is proof of the resurrection?
Yes.
Did you realize that? When God came down and knew the secrets of men's hearts and told people where they come from and where they're going to, and said, go home, you heal, that's proof of the resurrection. That Jesus Christ is truly Hebrews 13 and 8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's alive tonight. And he's living in my heart. He's living in your heart. And he's promised for 2 or 3 is gathered in his name, he will be in the midst. And that to bless us. Here's a second thought about this Satan's defeat. Second thing about Satan's defeat, it must be appropriated. You must appropriate it in your life. You must appropriate it in your Christian walk. God has paid the price. The Lord's done it, but you must appropriate it. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord's done it.
Yes.
I want you to believe it and appropriate it tonight.
Yes.
I want you not to be afraid. You know, every time when God visited somebody by an angel, he said, fear not. I'm sent from the presence of the Lord. Fear not. Only believe. You know, Brother Branham said the angel likes that song, "Only Believe." All things are possible. Appropriate means, we must make it our own. This is true for every God, for everything God has done for us, Christ, what God has made available, we must appropriate. So we have the absolute fact that Jesus has done it, and he's paid the price. Now we have this appropriate, to make it appropriate. God's done it, but we need to make it appropriate. We need to use it. We need to make it happen. And the devil's defeated when you do that. You say, what are you talking about? Well, if you never pray, if you say my children's lost or in the world and you never pray for them, you're not appropriating it. You need to appropriate it. You need to say there could be in a bar during the night. There could be in drugs tonight. But I have an absolute. And I can appropriate it. Because my Bible says that he's my high priest. It can be touched for the feeling of my infirmities. And then another wee verse says, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. I tell you, when you bring them before the Lord wants you to bring before them. He wants you to get into secret and pray for them. Bring them before the throne of grace, for you may find help in the time of trouble. Then what's the word say? My help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. What else does the psalmist say? I will look unto the hills when whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I tell you, our help's in the Lord tonight. It's in the Lord. No substitute for the Lord's help. And I tell you, the Lord will help you. I want to share with you some of these scriptures about this. We often quote this in prayer and say it, Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You see, because Jesus Christ has entered heaven, and whatever it is in heaven, we can have it on earth. Hear me? What did Jesus teach us to pray? Thy will be in earth as it is in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no death in heaven. There's no defeat in heaven. And God wants us to pray like the one in here, like it is in heaven. We're going to have to bind the strongman. We're going to have to spoil his goods. And you've got the keys to bind them, and I'm going to show you the keys tonight. The keys is the name of Jesus Christ. That's the keys of the kingdom. Jesus says, I give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom in my name. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth to be bound in heaven, the keys is the name of Jesus. And you've got the name tonight. The name of Jesus is the most powerful name. The name of Jesus is the name that makes blinded eyes open. It's the name that stops the deaf ear. It's the name that makes the lame walk. It's the name that straightens up cripples. What about that story I told you the other week? 26 miracles that God done. 26 miracles what God performed on one wee child. 26 miracles. Shammach stood there and he said the child had no eyes. And the next thing he seen it whirling around, he said that he had like a clay that he played with his children. I don't know the children, I think my wee boys have it. Like a clay they can play with and make shapes from the clay. And he said the only way I could explain it, it was like God took clay and he started to make 2 feet for that wee child. And he stood there and he watched it. What about the wee girl that came before William Branham and she was blind? Brother Branham said, what color eyes do you want?
Yes.
She said, I want blue ones. Ain't that something? Because that wee child got blue eyes as well. Ain't that something? But God didn't even give him a choice. What color eyes do you want?
I tell you, we serve a mighty God tonight. The devil never wants us to tell our children. The devil never wants us to preach about the things God's done. He wants us to keep quiet. He never wants us to mention it in case faith would rise up in someone and he'd bind a couple of devils. God wants you to know the enemy's defeated tonight. I believe what I'm preaching. I believe it with all my heart. Oh, but you need to watch, brother. The devil will make you prove it. Jesus already proves it. I don't need to prove nothing. They said to him, if you're the Lord, come down to the cross. But I want you to know, when Jesus Christ sent the Holy Ghost back on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't too long till the devil knew it. Because when that power of God fell on them men of God, the Bible says the place was shaken where they were gathered together. They beat them and they threatened them and they prayed, Lord, stretch forth thy arm. Thou mightest do signs, wonders and miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And you know when they come up on the way to prayer, there's a man looking for alms. And they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. I tell you, we want meetings where the power of God's working. And I believe we need to be praying. We're to take our cue from heaven. You hear me? Our cue is from heaven, not here. God doesn't want you to take a cue from here. You know, it might happen, it mightn't. God wants you to take a cue from heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, loose in heaven. God's telling you, as it is in heaven, let it be here. That's what God said. That's God's word. We're to see things from heaven's viewpoint. See things from heaven's viewpoint is very important. You know, when your brother lay in his bed, and he's no account, he said, I've done nothing for the Lord. Imagine that. And he said he always wondered what he would be like. He had different ideas. But God let him go beyond the curtain of time. And he said it was far beyond what he ever thought. And you know, he preached that sermon, my people robed in white. You'll know one another. I tell you, it's wonderful what it's going to be like in heaven. Everybody was young. No old people up there. No grey hairs up there. There's no infirmities up there. It's called heaven. And God says we can have it here like it is in heaven. Now I know we're in a body of flesh, but we can expect to be healed while we're in this body of flesh, because the same God that can redeem our soul can heal our body. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist him and he'll flee from you. So far this evening we have saw that an unsaved person is bound in slavery and blind to the gospel. And it is the devil who has done this. Therefore, before any person can be saved, he must first be emancipated and enlightened. That is now possible because of Satan's defeat by Jesus Christ on the cross. It's possible. God enlightened you. God enlightened me. Because he's done the work on the cross. I want to read you this from a message called The Inner Veil. For we know that we are a failure to begin with. And I'm not worthy to pray for these people. Satan doesn't care about me. He knows that. And he ain't afraid of me. He ain't afraid of no Christian here. But what he's afraid of is the blood of Jesus. That's going before us. That's what he knows. He can't transgress. He can pass over that blood. He can't do it. And he realizes, Father, that he's defeated. He realized that there at Calvary, Jesus Christ stripped him of every authority he had. He hasn't got one legal right. He hasn't got one legal thing. The full penalty of sin and sickness was paid for at Calvary. And we, the attributes of everything Jesus Christ died for. And he knows that he is defeated. And the only thing that he can do is hunt the people. He can't possess them. He can only hunt them when their confession is upon the unadulterated blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein lays the life. And the life is in the blood. That's why the message called the token is so important. That's why when William Branham preached it, he said it's so important. The token is so important because the token is the life of the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ holds the life of God. And the blood shed broke on the cross and God's life was released. That's eternal life. That's the power that said, let there be life, and there was life. That's the same life. That life was released back in every believer. It's yours tonight. You can have it. It's your right. The Lord's paying for it for you. Wants you to appropriate it. Wants you to believe it. Wants you really to believe it. And the devil comes to tempt you. The devil tells you it can't be done. How will it be done? Resist them. The Bible says he'd flee from you. I'm going to finish tonight by the cross of Christ. The atonement of Christ is the main pillar upon which intercession rests. Jesus taught us to pray. Jesus prayed right on the cross. Prayed right to the death. You know that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed right to the cross. Prayed in Gethsemane. Think of the times the Lord prayed. He went into the wilderness, fasted and prayed for 40 days. He went into the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed all night. His disciples fell asleep. He prayed all night. He prayed right through. Great sweat drops of blood come out of him. And when he got to the cross, and he was on the cross, he prayed again. Jesus was a prayer. He's our example. He's the one we are following tonight, the Lord Jesus. 1 John 2, verse 1 to 2, it says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sin of the world. So I tell you, that's why you can pray for the world. Because people don't believe in what I'm preaching. Because people believe they can't pray for the world. But I believe in praying for the lost. Because the Bible teaches it. Jesus did it. The apostles did it. I'm going to do it. Brother Branham said he prayed all night for his father. He said he woke up in the morning and his pajamas was wet with tears. He prayed all night for his father and his father got saved. And you remember his father killed a man in a knife fight. But God still saved him. All manner of sins shall be forgiven except the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. God can save anybody. Propitiation means atoning sacrifice or covering on the cross. Jesus covered us for what he done on the cross. We're covered. We're covered. Because we have this propitiation, we're covered tonight. We've got his righteousness. Our own wouldn't take us to the door, but we've got his. His will not take us to that door, but it'll take us the whole way to heaven. Amen. Oh, you hear me? The righteousness of Jesus Christ will take you the whole way to heaven. Then Paul said, I'm persuaded that that which I have committed unto him is able to keep and present me faultless against that day, the only true wise God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus covered our sins with his blood. He didn't just cover them, he annihilated them. And not only, but also those of the whole world. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Follow these few scriptures, and I'm going to come to close in a moment. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of part of the world. The whole world. He's able to save the world. Amen? Some may say, I believe in a limited atonement. The basis on which the elect are saved is the atoning work of Christ. Men do not go to hell because of their sins. They go to hell because they reject the atonement Christ made. They don't go because of their sins. They go because they reject God's provided way. Let me just rehearse to you for a moment. God provided way is not a church. God provided way is not some denominational name. God provided way is not the Pope or the Archbishop or a prophet. But God provided way is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God provided way. For the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. That's God provided way. Amen. All the prophets pointed to that. Yes. That's what they pointed to. John 3 verse 17, we quote 16, but let's read 17 and 18. John 3, 17, 18. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Sin's dealt with, but you must come. You've seen it. People must come, they must make a choice. You ever think of a statement William Branham said? It was outstanding. He said, when you confess your sins, the blood of Jesus cleanses you. He said, God can't even show that what you've done to his prophets. That's what he said. It can't even be shown to a prophet when you've confessed it. And it's under the blood of Jesus. Because the Bible says, thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. They're gone because of the power of the blood. I think that's wonderful. Why is the lost person condemned? Is it because he steals or because he curses or gets drunk? No. He's not condemned by what he has done. He is condemned by what he has not done. He's not believed. And you remember that Brother Brown said, smoking and drinking is not sin. Sin is unbelief. To disbelieve is sin. He said, smoking and drinking is not sin. He said, sin's unbelief. The reason people smoke, the reason they drink, is because they don't believe. But once a person believes, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't want them things no more. You know the brother that was with the prophet? And he smoked. Brother Branham took him down and baptized him. And a lot of people talked about it. Did he not realize he smoked? Sure, he knew he smoked. But he had a vision, and he saw in the vision that a bridge broke, and he said, that's the smoking finished. And he got a brother, and he said, this brother was dying, he was in the hospital, he wasn't well. And he said, you're going down to visit him? He said, yes. And he said, what type of cigarettes does he like? You know, ever hear that story? Yes. He says, I can't go in and buy them, but you're doing it. And he sent the brother in, and he says, don't, you know, the brother tried to explain, Brother Brown, you don't buy them, and wanted to come and hold cartons. And he said, well, go and get him a carton of whatever they come in. And he took him down to the hospital, and that man never smoked again. What about the video he calls to deep? And you know the other brother that hung with him? And he went out of the tent, and he went for smoke. And Brother Brown says, did you ever, when did you stop smoking, brother? And he says, just now. Just now. God knows everything about us. But you see, the real sin's unbelief. When you believe the Lord Jesus, you won't want to do them things. Hallelujah. The devil's defeated tonight. I want to read you from Revelation as we close. Revelation 20 verse 13 to 15. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. Whatsoever was not found written in the book of the life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, why read that at the end of the service? Because I want you to see that they weren't condemned because of works. But they were condemned because their name wasn't in the book. When did he get that? Their works was looked at. But they were condemned because their name wasn't in the book. And I tell you, it's God that puts their names in the book. And nobody can put it in and nobody can take it out. Thank God. It's not taken out because you don't follow Brother So-and-so's revelation. That's nonsense. When your name's in the book, nobody can take it out of it. Thank God for the book of life. And thank God that the Lord's a keeper. He's your keeper tonight, and the enemy's defeated. You have an absolute. And God's give you some of the workmen to appropriate it, to make it appropriate. And that's prayer. Praise God. When Christ poured out his blood, he paid the ransom for the lost souls. When God raised him from the grave the third day, he stopped the bill, paid in full. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God tonight. He's real. I feel God's real tonight. You feel God's real. You said I'm not going in feelings. Neither am I, but it feels good anyhow. I thank God for feelings. And I thank God for the Word of God. I want you to believe the Lord tonight for your son. Whatever your situation is, I want you to believe God tonight. I want you to believe that God can do what he says he can do. Why is he God? He's God. Because, I'll tell you what, he's no beginning, he's no ending. He's almighty. God is what he says he is. God can do what he says he can do. You are what God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. What are you? You're the redeemed of the Lord. What's the psalmist say? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You're redeemed tonight. Brother, you often quotes it when he prays, not by corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb without spot or blemish. You're redeemed tonight. The Lord's bought you. You're the Lord's. Not the devil's. The Lord owns you. You're the Lord's property. And the Lord loves you. He loves you. And the devil's a liar. Let's lift your hand tonight if you want prayer again this week. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we believe your word tonight. We believe you're unchanged. We believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe you're the mighty God. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God that opened the Red Sea. You're the God that fed the manna in the wilderness, that furnished the table in the wilderness. You're that God. You're the God that sent your son to the cross. And he took all the sins of the world upon himself. And he conquered all. And he rose triumphant over death, over hell, and over the grave. You're the risen Savior tonight. You're living tonight. You're seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You ever liveth to make intercession for your sins. Lord, I believe your word tonight, Lord Jesus. Father, I come against every work of the devil in this room. I come against every work of the devil over every life, every home that's represented in this meeting house tonight. I bind the powers of darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I plead the power of the blood. I plead the life of that blood, the Holy Ghost, to go to work in that sister, to go to work in that brother, to go to work in that man, to go to work in that woman, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Work in that boy, work in that girl. Bring them, O Lord, I pray, and save them by thy mighty power. Lord, bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, I believe that you have power over the enemy. Lord, you promised us, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're in us tonight. We confess you're in us. We confess that in you we live and move and have our being. We confess you hold the breath we breathe. We confess your powers in this meeting tonight, the power of the Holy Ghost. We confess the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead is quickening our mortal bodies even now in this meeting. We confess you as our Savior. We confess you as our healer. We confess you as our baptizer in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We confess you the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the Lord of all glory. Lord, I pray you'll move on everyone tonight in this room. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the power of God come upon your people. May you confirm your word. May you save every lost soul. Heal every sick body. Set every captive free. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, help us just to preach your truth. Help us to glorify your name. Lord, that no man would be seen save Jesus Christ and Him alone. Father, have we sought to lift your name tonight as a wave sheaf over your people. May the healing balm, Lord, your word says there is one, says there's a healing balm. Oh, lift you up, your everlasting gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory but the Lord mighty in battle? Lord, you're the captain of the host tonight. Come on the scene, Lord Jesus. Come on the scene in our lives, in our hearts, and in this service. May you come on the scene tonight, Lord Jesus. May you come amongst us. May we know your visitation. May you touch lives and hearts afresh. May you break the power of the devil, the power of bondage. Set people free. In Jesus' name tonight, free from fear, free from addiction.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Yes.
Lord, we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the glory,
Jesus,
for thou alone art worthy. Father, I pray you'll bless everyone in this room tonight, on all that's on our hearts this evening, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as the brother comes to lead the songs tonight, the warrior word, may the Holy Spirit be pleased.
Yes.
May you come down tonight and confirm your word with signs and with wonders and miracles. In the name of thy holy child Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Praise God. Take somebody by the hand tonight and say, God's touched you. Praise God. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Praise God. Our brother Gary's going to come. Praise God. The Lord spares us. Let's see, it's Wednesday night. The Lord will. And you just pray first. Keep on keeping on. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.